thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This wee Christmas theme, right? So this Christmas series is Follow the Star. We're going to look at the wise men, the shepherds. The star led the wise men to the person of Jesus, the baby Jesus. And so tonight we're going to preach from this title of Let the Light Lead. Let the Light Lead. And I think I said it this morning, actually, a lot of this time around the Christmas period is just so busy with, you know, everything happens nowadays. It's, you have to buy some things, you need to do last minute work things, you need to make sure you have food in the house for people coming round, you need to visit that granny you haven't visited all year, you need to do loads of different things around this time of year that sometimes we forget the significance of the season. And so tonight I want to preach from the perspective of the wise men. And I want to talk about three different things that the story of the wise men can help us and how we should live lives, not just this Christmas season, but for the rest of our lives. So let the light lead, because the only significance of the star was the fact that it led the wise men to Jesus, who then in turn became the light of the world. So the star represents Jesus, the light of the world. I think it says it, I don't think I have it, in John 8, verse 12, it says that he is the light of the world. And we are people that should let the light lead, not ourselves lead, not our friends lead, not their families lead, but we let the light lead. And so my first point tonight is this, if you're taking notes. Following the star starts with a choice. Following the star starts with a choice. And on that note, if we can give it up for MJ, who's going to come and read the Bible for us. So give it up for MJ. Let me get your mic.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? For he saw his star at its rising and have to come worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all of chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They told him, because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, as they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling on to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh to Herod. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route.
Amazing. Guys, MJ is 11, right? That's amazing, isn't it? Thank you so much for helping me out. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Amazing, MJ. Thank you so much. And so, yes, the first point this evening is following the star starts with a choice. I don't know if I have another screen. No, we're good. So if I asked you this question, what do you want for dinner? Right? Hopefully, most people would be able to give me an answer. If I asked you this question, what do you want to do on Saturday night? Most people should be able to give me an answer. But I have a fiance who is the most wonderful person in the world, right? But she is probably the world's worst decision maker ever, right? Like ever. So I ask her, what do you want for your dinner? Whatever you want. What do you want to do on Saturday? Whatever you want. Do you want to marry me? Whatever you want. No, I'm joking, not that one. But I say this because decisions are important. Decisions really, really are important that we make the right ones. And so in this passage, we read of the wise men, they seen a star, and then they first made a choice. They made a decision to follow it. And you see, if we were to follow the star, Jesus, the light of the world, then it actually looks different than just having a title. See, the sad thing with today's society and this term Christian is that we think following Jesus and giving everything of our lives is different than this term Christian, but they are the same. You see, the wise men left from the Far East everything they had to pursue this star because they knew the value of what was to come. And so this morning, whatever one, ask yourself this question. When you made a choice to follow Jesus, does it cost you anything? Does it cost you something? Because to follow someone, if you look it up on Google, it is to pursue or to trace someone. To pursue or to trace someone. So is this true of your life? Are you constantly in pursuit of Jesus? Are you just desperate to know where he goes and to be with him? Are you trying to trace him? Are we in the Word of God, looking at the things he's commanded us and showed us an example to us and saying, I just really want to live that way? Are we trying to trace his steps? Because when we made a choice to say, okay, Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow the star. That's what it looks like. It doesn't just look like a term Christian or a title or a seat in a church. It looks like this person who is desperately pursuing the person of Jesus and trying to trace his steps. John 12, verse 25 to 26 says this. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You see, to follow the star, to follow the star, to get to the person of Jesus, to stand face to face with him, starts with the choice. And it's really, really simple. It's one or two options. It's either he's worth everything or he's not. There's no title in Christianity. Is he worth everything or is he not? The wise men left everything in pursuit of the star because he was worth it. And so if we want to pursue Jesus Christ, then that's what it takes. I don't have it on the screen, but a really famous theologian, A.W. Tozer, says this. If I am to wholly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I must forsake everything that is contrary to him. If I am to wholly follow Jesus Christ, I must forsake everything that is contrary to him. And so if we're saying at this Christmas period, at this time of the year, I want to follow the star. I want to be someone who follows the star, because when I follow the star, it leads me to the person of Jesus. Then it looks like something in our life. It starts with a choice. Is he worth everything or is he worth nothing? This is a choice we need to make before we can begin the journey, because there's no point making the decision to say no and then just go on the journey for half a mile and give up. But if you said to start, Jesus, you're worth it all, I want to pursue you, I want to trace you, then we can get on with the journey. The second point tonight is this. Following the start star leads to sacrificial worship. Following the star leads to sacrificial worship. And from 9 to 12, it says this. Let me read it again. I haven't really done so well, but it's on the screen, so I'll read it. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. John Piper says this: true worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. A wee bit of background about these wise men, that these guys were probably like astronomers, however you want to say it, people who studied stars. So this idea of like stars and looking up and saying like, should I follow this? Wasn't just like this random stage of life where like they just looked up one day and thought, I'm going to follow that. They studied stars, and so they understood when a star like this, there was something worth it behind it. And so this was like their normal business. But the difference and the significance of this was their action. See, in the tradition of the day, whenever you want to say it, like zero AD. Whenever you went to a person of like royalty or someone who was like high up in society, it would be really, really rude to not bring a gift. So like, think of it, when you go to your friend's house, sometimes if you're really, really close, you don't bring anything. Like, I never brought anything to Paul and Esther's today because we're friends, right? But if you were going to go to someone's house new and it was this big thing, you would normally say, oh, we'll stop at Asda here and we'll get a couple of bottles of Coke, or, you know, I'm going to stop and get like an apple tart or something like that, because apple tart right here, next time I'll get you that. Because like it's something nice to do. But in these days in society, if you were to turn up to someone of like a royal nature or someone high up in society without a gift, then that would have been like a no-no. Like, you don't do that ever. Like, no way. But this was a baby, right? A baby hadn't said a word yet, probably crying. These guys turned up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This was the response of someone of royalty, but here was just a baby wrapped in cloth, and they decided that this baby was to be treated with royalty. I think it's amazing. It's not it. These men, really well educated men, this baby, picture the scene, right? A manger, like middle of nowhere in Bethlehem, right? These three really smart, wise men, probably pretty wealthy people, bowing and worshipping this baby. Think of it, how mental is this? A baby, never spoke a word, never met this person before, but these three wise men traveled this far distance to worship, to bow, and to present gifts to a baby. If I was there, I probably would have laughed and think, what are you doing, mate? What are you doing? But this was the example set, that when we follow the star, it has to lead to sacrificial worship. They were willing to lay their pride down to worship a baby that hadn't even spoke. But sometimes we fear talking to our friends about Jesus because of what they may say. We fear talking to our loved ones about the joy of the Lord because, what if they make fun of me? But these wise men, really well educated, were willing to go on their hands and knees and worship a baby who had done nothing yet. Because when you follow the star and you meet the person of Jesus for who he truly is, it requires sacrificial worship. Because there is no room for pride. The only appropriate response when we follow the star is worship. Philippians 3 verse 8 says this: "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose namesake," I think God said, "I have lost all things, but I consider them garbage. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." John Piper said in the quote before, worship isn't just like singing, but it's a valuing and a treasuring of God above all things. It's how we live our life is important. And so when it does come to how you spend your money, it's important. When it does come to how you spend your time and your effort, it's important. When it comes to how you speak about friends and family and church, it's actually really important because it tells us who you value most. See, is Jesus the most important person in your life? Or do you value the thoughts of colleagues above him? Because when we follow the star and we get to the person of Jesus and we see him, then everything that is a sacrifice is like worthy, it's acceptable. Because we give everything because he is worth it. There's a song called, I don't know now, but it goes like this. It says, "For the one that gave me life, nothing is a sacrifice. For the one that gave me life, nothing is a sacrifice." Is following the star having this effect on you? Because for the wise men, it cost them everything. It cost them pride and it cost them physical needs. They were willing, I won't get down right now, but to get on their honkers and to worship a baby that had never spoke. They were willing to carry gold, frankincense and myrrh from the Far East to this random place in Bethlehem, because when they followed the star and they met Jesus Christ himself, then the only acceptable response was a worship that was sacrificial. Last point is this: following the star again. Don't know why this happened, but following the star leads to obedience. Matthew again, verse 7 to 12 goes like this: "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Another thing to think about in your head is this, right? King of the province, Herod, right, says to these guys, "Go and find the baby. I really want to worship him. Go and find them. I really want to worship him." So he sends them off. They find the baby. And then just before they go, they have a wee dream, right? They have a wee dream and they're warned not to go back to Herod. Think of it in your sense now, right? The president, no, we'll go, who will go? The king, right? We'll go King Charles, right? Says to you, "Go and do this. And then when you've done it, come back to me." But then you have a dream one night and you think it's God and God's warning you not to go back. Anyone probably in here, if we're honest, would go back to King Charles and say, "Here, mate, he's over here," right? Because it's the royalty, it's the authority that we see. Because surely King Herod was someone not to be messed with, someone to be followed, because he was the king of the province. He was someone who was feared by so many people. But yet, these three magi, three wise men, decided to show that when following the star and seeing the person of Jesus, then obedience to the true king is always correct. Always. no matter if it's hard, no matter if it's easy, no matter if you're faced with a situation that you're like, I couldn't do that. Obedience to the true King Jesus is always the right option. And obedience can be actually really easy in seasons when it's the right choice. You know, if someone had asked you to clean your room, right, Mum, then that's always the right choice to say, yes, Mum, no problem, I'll clean my room, because obedience is easy when it's the right choice. But there's a guy in the Bible that most people will know. His name's Peter. We'll read it because, you know, don't like putting Peter down because he's done so many good things. But this is a moment where, you know, obedience was difficult for him. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. She said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. Then you get these stages of life when obedience is really difficult, when you're faced with so many threats. And if you don't be obedient to the people in front of you, then you may get hurt or harmed or verbally abused. But the wise man showed, even in the face of difficulty, that obedience to the true king is always the right option. There's times when obedience seems like it's good, and there's times when obedience seems like it's the hardest. But obedience has to be the correct response. Think of your life for a second. How many times, truthfully, if you think about it, I always like closing my eyes and just like trying to picture my life a wee second. Like, think of your life truthfully. How many times, and there's no hands up, or I'm not going to ask you personally, but with you and God, how many times have you took the easy option? How many times have you thought it's not worth it? How many times have you thought I'll just say this to keep them happy? How many times have you just said, you know what, I'll just do the next time I get an opportunity? I know for me it's been many of times, but tonight, this Christmas season, when we think of this beautiful story of the wise men and the star, and when they followed the star, they met Jesus, and their lives were changed, they worshipped him, and they went away different. Imagine this Christmas season, in this series, that we said to Jesus again, Jesus, I truly want to be more obedient to you than what I've ever been. When you ask me to do something, help me do it. When you ask me to do something and it's really, really difficult, give me the ability to do it by your Holy Spirit. See, when you ask me to do something and it's easy, I'll do it. When you ask me to do something and it's really, really tough, I'll do it. Imagine it was actually in moments like this when we were meant to be joyful, right? This is joyful, right? We'll get to why it's joyful in a second. But it was in moments like this when we actually came back to the reality of the Christmas story and the truth that it brings to our lives, that we recommitted our obedience to King Jesus. Not to King Charles, not to the pastor of the church, not to our friends, but to King Jesus. Because Henry Blackaby says this quote, I don't know if you can see it really well, but it's really, really great. He says, if you know that God loves you, and he does, you should never question a directive from him. It will always be right and best when he gives you the directive. You are not to observe it, discuss it, or debate it. You are to obey it. You're not to discuss it, to debate it. You are to obey it. When he asks you to do something, when he comes to you and he asks you to step out in faith for him, he doesn't do it because he's trying to make you be the brunt of a joke. He's not trying to do it because he thinks, we'll just get back at him for all the sin he committed. No, he does this because he knows what is good and what is right for your life. Pastor this morning read from John 10:10. 10, 10, So the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and life to the full. It's in following the directives of God is when we walk in life to the full. And so, as followers of Jesus, this is the best season, if not the second best season after Easter, to remember Jesus. So I believe at the start of this Christmas period, what is it, the 3rd of December, that we should all come back and refocus on the truth. The first of all, it starts with a choice. And Jesus doesn't just require a title in our bio or our Instagram. He requires our whole life. Number two, everything is garbage. Everything of our lives is garbage in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus. Our lives should be lives that worship him. Not just singing, not just raising our hands in worship, but everything we do, who we speak to, how we speak about people behind their back, how we spend our money should be worship. Number three, it requires obedience in every moment, not because he's trying to trick you or harm you, but because he knows best. And this does sound like effort. It sounds like a bit of change and sounds like, all right, okay, what do we do? But because of Jesus, because of this story, this flips a wee bit. It's not, right, okay, come on, guys, let's get going. Let's get going here. Come on, we need to do a wee bit better. But rather, because of Jesus, it flips to this, that we actually get to live lives for him. We actually get to worship him in everything we do. We actually get to be obedient to where he calls us because he decided that way before any of us did anything for him or way before you were any use to him, that he would leave the splendor of heaven, his throne, to come to an earth to die for you and for me. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so all this that we have chatted about tonight, some of the things we've been feeling like, oh, maybe I need to get better at being obedient. Maybe I need to get better at like worshiping Jesus in seasons that are tough. This actually, guys, is the biggest privilege of our lives because it's all worship back to him. We will never in our lives be able to repay the debt of Christ because he decided to come and to save us. But what we can do is we can live for him, we can worship him, and we can obey him. And so this week, as we're about to leave the changing room, I call this, right? If anyone has ever played sports, I believe church is like a changing room. I believe it's a place where, you know, I don't know if you play sports, but like you go into the changing room, you get your jersey on, you put on your shin guards, you put on your boots before you go and you play the match. But this is what this place is. We come here, we get filled up, we get renewed, we get some like ability to see like past ourselves. We come here, we get fired up for the gospel again. And then the actual mission field, the actual match is out there. There's no point us just waiting in here and just coming and opening our Bibles and saying, it's a great to be a Christian, right? No, this is a changing room where we come here and we say, okay, I'll put that boot back on. I'll put this shin guard back on and I'm going to go this week and I'm going to live a life that he's called me to. I am going to be obedient to his command. I am going to worship him with everything I can. So worship team, want to jump back up? If you want to stand as well, guys. That is the gospel in a nutshell, right? Jesus came for those who didn't love him to die so that we might make a decision to follow him. And so the only way we can repay him is with our lives. But tonight what I would love us to do, we're going to sing a song that most people might not know. The young people loved it at Relentless, but the words are great. It's called I Thank God. And I would love us in this moment, in this time of the change room of church, to really, really cry out in praise to God. Thank him for coming to this earth for you. Thank him for leaving the splendor of heaven for you. And I love the fact that if it was just you, he would still come. And so tonight, let's take some time to really praise him and thank him for his obedience to the Father, so that we may have life, so that we may worship him, so that we may be obedient as we leave.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.